Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me you don't know what love is, when you're old enough to know better, when you clasp strange hands and you sweat blood, when you dream both turns out to be a footnote, I'm a man with a mission. Two or three additions and
okay. After some technical difficulties, I am here. I'm on the air. Finally. Oh, my God. What happened? It's March 23rd, 2011. Planet Earth. Third planet from the sun. Oh, boy. Let's get this party started.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately.
Tell us,
they said,
when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?
You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Those days had not been cut short. No one would survive. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. When you see all these things, you know that it is near.
Indeed. The winning lottery number in Illinois was 666. Which, as everyone knows, is the sign of the beast. On November 5, Todd Stradlberg was at his desk. He was fielding emails from around the world. As the editor and founder of RaptureReady.com, his job was to track current events and link them to biblical prophecy, in the hopes of maintaining his status as the eBay of prophecy. Quote, eBay of prophecy, end quote. The best source online for predictions and calculations concerning the end of the world. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. The toll-free line for those of you on a budget is 877-666-9305. Already, Barack Obama had drawn the attention of apocalypse watchers after an anonymous email circulated among conservative Christians in October of that year, of the year of the election, implied that he was the Antichrist. Former Saturday Night Live alumni Victoria Jackson fueled the fire when, according to news reports, she wrote on her website that Obama bears traits that resemble the Antichrist. Now, Stradlberg was receiving up-to-the-minute news from his constituents in Illinois. One of the winning lottery numbers in the president-elect's home state was 666, which, as everyone knows, is the sign of the beast, also known as the Antichrist. It's very eerie, and I take it for a sign as to who he really is, wrote one of Stradlberg's correspondents. Interesting, isn't it? Let's listen to a little bit more.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately.
Tell us,
they said,
when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?
You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Those days had not been cut short. No one would survive. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. When you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never pass away. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man.
They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come.
Ever since Jesus Christ was crucified, and according to the gospel, rose again in glory, his followers have been anticipating the end of history, the time when their Lord will return to earth and reign for 1,000 years. Listen to a little bit of this.
Our exploration during this weekend, or during this week, takes place in the context of November 4th, 2008. On that date, a cultural earthquake hit America. Senator Barack Obama was elected President of the United States. He appears to be a relaxed, smiling man. His rhetorical skills, as I mentioned, are very highly developed. He has a way of teasing a crowd, and from all reports, even individuals from the one-to-one. Under all of that, grace and charm, there is a tautness of will, a clenched jaw, a state of constant alertness to detect and resist any external influence which might threaten his independence. A state of alertness, yes, that is putting it mildly. Beneath each word he speaks, he carries on sapping operations against the enemy city. His clenched jaw was seen at his talk before the Planned Parenthood supporters, July 17, 2007. There he asserted, quote, and I'm quoting somewhat out of context, but not out of his meaning, "We are not only going to win this election, but also we are going to transform this nation. The first thing I will do as president is to sign the Freedom of Choice Act." I put Roe at the center of my lesson plan on reproductive freedom when I taught constitutional law. I don't want my daughters punished by a pregnancy. On this issue, he continued, I will not yield. All of the issues that are going on. End of quote. Note the way the president-elect wished to describe the killing of his unborn grandchild. His daughters must not be, quote, punished by pregnancy. His rhetoric is postmodernist and marks an agenda and vision that are aggressive, disruptive, and apocalyptic. Catholics weep over these words. We weep over the violence concealed behind the rhetoric of our young president-to-be. What should we do with our hot, angry tears of betrayal? First, our tears are agonistic. We must acknowledge that. For the next few years, Gethsemane will not be marginal. We will know their garden.
Ever since Jesus Christ was crucified, and according to the Gospels, rose again in glory, his followers have been anticipating the end of history, the time when their Lord would return to earth and reign for 1,000 years. The question has always been, when? Most Christians don't worry about the end too much. It's an abstract concept, a theological puzzle for late night pondering. A few, however, have always believed that it's coming, and soon. millennialist movements, as they're called, gain prominence, especially when the world grows chaotic. During wars, and at the turn of every century, according to a 2006 study by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, a third of white evangelicals believe the world will end in their lifetimes. These most conservative Christians believe a great battle is imminent. After years of tribulation, natural disasters, other cataclysms such as the collapse of financial markets, God's armies will vanquish armies led by the Antichrist himself. He will be a sweet-talking world leader who gathers governments and economies under his command to further his own evil agenda. In this worldview, the spread of secular progressive ideas is a prelude to the enslavement of mankind. No wonder, then, that Obama triggers such fear in the hearts of Americans, American Christians. Matt Staver, dean of Liberty University's law school, says he does not believe Obama is the Antichrist, but he can see how others might. Obama's own use of religious rhetoric belies his liberal positions on abortion and traditional marriage, positions that religious conservatives believe will threaten their freedoms. The people who believe Obama is the Antichrist are perhaps jumping to conclusions, but they're not nuts. They're not lunatics. They are expressing a concern and a fear that is wildly shared. Before Christ comes again, those who are saved will ascend to heaven, according to this end times theology. They'll ascend in a huge upward whoosh called the rapture. The rapture is coming. Make no mistake about that. Is there any Obama Antichrist evidence? Let's see. First, before we answer that question, who is Barack Hussein Obama? What do we actually know about him? Is he merely just another politician? Or is there more to Obama? Certainly it's hard to think of someone in recent history who has been better able to capture the hope and imagination of Americans all across the country. He ran his campaign on the ideas of hope and change, but is that really what he's offering? He hypnotized millions with his oratory and convinced the rest with vague promises. He is universally loved and admired. His followers refer to him as the One, the Elect, the Chosen One, and the Savior. But the fact of the matter is, Barack Hussein Obama, some would say, is a demon sent from hell to extinguish the last remnants of virtue from the face of the earth. Some say Barack Hussein Obama is the Antichrist. Now, people have claimed the existence of an Antichrist at different times in history, but never before has the evidence been so concrete, logical, and undeniable as it is with the case of Barack Obama. Obama rose through the ranks of American politics seemingly out of nowhere. He gained a passionate following all over the world, a following that clings to every vague promise and political bromide he so eloquently spews from his supposedly demonic tongue. The book of Revelations describes this exactly. It says that the Antichrist will rise from obscurity, speak boastfully, and will be worshipped by millions. It sounds familiar, even vaguely. The Obama Antichrist evidence is clear. Barack Obama was raised by an atheist and Muslims and gained his name in politics in the city of Chicago, a city teeming with scum and villainy and corruption. I ought to know, it's my hometown. He claims to have discovered Christianity in his adult life. But I, for one, would ask you to check that claim. I submit that Barack Obama is a phony Christian and is, in fact, an aggressive supporter of murdering unborn children. Obama speaks of Christianity while openly rejecting the teachings of the Christ and the Bible. I quote, "Beware of false prophets," end quote, warns the Bible. "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious as wolves," end quote. This quote has never been more relevant to humanity and perfectly describes Obama. He seduced the people with his slick, polished speeches, wearing out the saints with his eloquent blasphemy. Modern America faces a choice. It's a very important choice. It's the most important choice. The choice of freedom or enslavement, virtue or evil, Jesus or Satan. America will be the battleground for the greatest philosophical war ever waged. The final showdown between virtue and hedonism. Which side will you choose? have been many presidents throughout history that have been accused of being the Antichrist. It is easy to understand why many would think that, considering the Bible talks plainly about the Antichrist having a heavy political position with strong leadership over the entire world, for most it would make sense that it would come from the United States, the United States president. Considering the dominant influence and power that the country has over the rest of the world. However, there are other factors that play into why President Obama really could be the Antichrist. First off, the Bible says that the Antichrist will have the ability to influence the entire world, unlike any other president we have had in history. Technology has improved worldwide, where literally all people could be reached by Barack Obama. Although some countries are poor, all have come to the point where the internet is made available in almost every third world country. Unlike previous years where there was not this capability, it is now to the point that all people of every nation could be influenced by President Barack Obama. Secondly, Barack Obama has a following unlike any other president of the United States in recent years. Very poor countries, even throughout Africa, view Barack Obama as a great leader and could easily be influenced by anything he has to say. In fact, many people have deemed President Barack Obama as the Messiah. This means they have to put him on equal footing, equal wavelengths with Jesus Christ of the Bible. Jesus Christ. It's not exactly what the Bible says will happen when the Antichrist gains power. He will be viewed as a spiritual being with the ability to miraculously work. He'll have the ability to perform miracles. And he'll be a savior, or seemingly so, to the whole world. His desire will be to overshadow the authority of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly the route that Barack Obama is taking. I think back to my alma mater, William and Mary, and then Georgetown, where I gained an advanced degree. When Barack Obama spoke at my alma mater just a year and a half ago, a demand was placed on the school auditorium that all religious symbols be covered. All Christian symbols be covered. Now, Georgetown is a religious school. It's a Christian school. There are crosses and symbols, theological, everywhere. Well, the reason given for the demand that all religious symbols be covered, the cross, pictures of Jesus, anything religious be covered, was that the administration did not want to offend anyone or give the impression that they were advocating Christianity. So, hence, Barack Obama will be viewed as a spiritual being, and his desire to overshadow the authority of Jesus, well, that test has been met. Lastly, the Bible talks of the Antichrist coming out of obscurity. This means that he will begin as someone relatively unknown and rise to power quickly through his clean talk and believable speeches. Does this sound like anyone familiar to you? Barack Obama comes from Chicago, a city of corruption. My town. I was raised there. He spent not even a single term as the senator of Illinois before being elected as president of the most powerful country in the world. In reality, within just a few short months of time, it went from many people not even knowing who Barack Obama was to putting a check mark next to his name on the day of elections for president. If anyone in history has come from such obscurity, it would certainly be Barack Obama. For these reasons, I believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Is Barack Obama the Antichrist?
Obama, and it's the end of the world as we know it, to borrow part of a line. Even Christians from Focus on the Family Action warn children will be awash in pornography. Terrorists will strike 4 U.S. cities. Marriage will be turned inside out. Other evangelicals warn an Obama victory will herald an apocalypse.
Just a broad road to destruction.
And this email sent to 75,000 British voters equates an Obama presidency to Nazi Germany.
The stuff is just beyond the pale. It's the most negative, vicious stuff that I've seen in quite some time.
Political experts say the extreme attacks underscore the concern far-right groups have with Obama. The evangelical group Focus on the Family Action defended its What If letter as based on its analysis of Obama's record.
To look with a critical eye at recent events and how they may play out in the future, that's not needless alarm. I think that's prudent.
Political analyst Larry Sabato calls it tragic.
Many of these conclusions are extreme and illogical. No president would ever attempt these things. No president who wanted to be reelected would even think these things.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court judge who signed the email to Jewish voters warning of a Holocaust if Senator John McCain loses apologized, and the Anti-Defamation League condemned the email as divisive. While the attacks may rally religious groups, other voters are put off by the negativity.
It seems pretty extreme, and maybe their final days that they're looking for more scare tactics.
I find it really abysmal for people who call themselves Christians to now decide that someone is different other than what they consider to be Christian, that now they think that it is going to ruin the world.
Well, it seems that no matter how you look at it, the subject, the idea is out there. The idea has taken shape. When, in your recent memory, has a debate of this type, been put out? Oh, yes, there was a time during President Reagan's tenure as president, early in his presidency, when someone suggested that his name, Ronald Wilson Reagan, had six letters in his first name, six letters in his middle name, and six letters in his last name, thus proving that Barack Hussein Obama was the Antichrist. I mean, I'm sorry, Ronald Wilson Reagan was the Antichrist. Huh. Interesting? Perhaps. One really wonders. A president of the United States can inflame such passions Well, we've discussed ad nauseum why there are those of us who believe that Barack Hussein Obama is the Antichrist. And I simply wonder myself, what's all the fuss about? The Bible clearly states that the Antichrist will rule for 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, he'll be defeated. And Jesus will return. And there'll be peace, finally, on earth. So I say, let him come. Let him do his worst. Because you see, all this has been foreseen. All that will occur has been prophesied. It's all out there. There is nothing. If one believes in biblical scripture, then one must conclude that there is nothing more that can be done. That we must endure. So whether Barack Hussein Obama is the Antichrist or not, well, it really doesn't matter, does it? Because, in my mind, the tribulations have begun. And it doesn't really matter who the Antichrist is, what his name is, or even that he be identified. I want to move on to something else. It's not too far from the subject matter that I've been discussing most of this broadcast, but it has to do with think forward to the not too distant future. 2012. Christmas. 2012. Putting food on the table for Christmas of 2012 will be more important than gifts. George Colenti is a trends forecaster and is often regarded as a modern-day Nostradamus. He has predicted numerous landmark events, including the 1987 stock market crash and the fall of the Soviet Union. Colenti says that by 2012, America will become an undeveloped nation, that there will be revolution marked by food riots, squatter rebellions, tax revolts, and job marches, and that holidays will be more about obtaining food, not gifts. Maybe then people will go back to worshiping Jesus and not Santa. Think about it. And think about the predictions of Mr. Colenti. Haven't we already seen these things taking shape? No, we haven't yet got to the point where we are rioting for food, not as a nation. Squatters, rebellions? Well, we've seen that taking shape in the form of those who hold mortgages that they can no longer afford and who refuse to leave their homes when banks foreclose. Tax revolts? The Tea Party is shaping up in that way. Job marches? Well, think no further than Wisconsin. And what's happening there? And Indiana? And soon all over the country. It seems to me that Colenti is on the right track. Does that scare you? Because if Colenti has predicted these things and they're already coming to pass, I suggest that you start stocking up. I submit that we should all be heading out to Sam's Club or Costco. And it sounds funny. I know. It sounds like I'm making light of the situation, but really, I'm not. I am very serious. You know, the idea that behind the global chaos that gave rise to President Obama's popularity was a secret network. And there are those who believe this, that a transnational hand somehow is directing the course of civilization. Yet no account of history, including recent times, is complete or even sincere without at least acknowledging the behind-the-scenes masters who manipulate international policy, banking and finance, securities and exchange, trade, commodities, and energy resources. Numerous works, including scholarly ones, have connected the dots between this ruling superclass and the integration of policy handed down by governing bodies of nation states and super national organizations. For example, the Economist newspaper in April 2008 pointed to research by academic David Rothkopf, whose book, Superclass, the global power elite and the world they are making, documented how only a few thousand people worldwide actually dictate the majority of policies operating at a global scale. The Economist described this comparatively small number of elites as being groomed in world-spanning institutions who meet at global events such as the World Economic Forum. Longtime radio host and author of Brotherhood of Darkness, Stanley Maltoff, says such persons are part of an occult hierarchy that rule the world and direct the course of human events. The movement is led by powerful men who reject Christianity, embrace the dark side, and are dedicated to the formation of a world government and a world religion. They control the government, the media, many corporations, and both U.S. political parties. Interesting. Before his death, it was prominent American political scientist Samuel P. Huntington who brought the uber echelon behind the push for global government. He brought it up from conspiracy theory to academic acceptability when he established that they have little need for national loyalty. Those who view national boundaries as obstacles that thankfully are vanishing and see national governments as residues from the past whose only useful function is to facilitate the elite's global operations. According to experts, international affairs, foreign and domestic politics, and taxpayer-funded investment economies are being largely decided by a privileged few, a cadre of families who are dedicated to the New World Order and One World Government. The CFR and the Trilateral Commission, of course the Masons, Bohemians, the Bilderbergers, and other Illuminates, well, they're all part of this group. And it all speaks to, all of it, speaks to end times. Not just change we can believe in, but the end of days. Folks, biblical prophecies, the scriptures, pick up your Bible. Read John. Read Revelations. Study them. And then turn on your television or your radio. Watch or listen to the news. Pick up your local paper and scan the headline. Read the articles. And then refer back to John and Luke and Revelations. You'll find that what is written is coming to pass. And then tell me if you're suddenly concerned. Call in and tell me if your eyes have been opened. Call in and tell me that you understand. Now, The objectives of the secret orders and the very real forces they serve is seldom perceived by citizens of democratic societies who view national officials as ruling their countries and representing their interest. Yet, according to sacred text, not only does an active collaboration exist between unregenerate social architects and the fallen angels, but politicians in particular, they're vulnerable to the principalities and powers. According to well-known exorcist Gabriel Armoth, who's performed over 70,000 official exorcisms, evil exists in the world, and evil exists in politics. Quite often, in fact, the devil loves to take over those who hold political office. As a result, it is not difficult to see how fleshy gloves such as U.S. presidents may be unaware of their role as chess pieces on a terrestrial game board, sliding in and out of position as they are moved by the God of this world toward the end game. If researchers like Dr. Monument are correct, and world governments are to this day influenced by such dark angelic powers, the elite who held the current push to establish a new world order are directly connected with an Antichrist system. Whether they know it or not, now, with vivid testimony to this, Satan offered to Jesus all the power and glory of the kingdoms of this world. He said, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Luke 4:6-7. Could we? Could we start? Could we start again, please? I wonder. Our time is growing short. It's time to get serious. Really. I want to thank everyone who listens to my show, who downloads the show on iTunes and listens in on Blog Talk Radio and on whatever else device you listen in on. Tonight has been a very serious broadcast, and it's usually not that way. I usually open the show much more cleanly than I did today. However, I am out of town today. I'm not at home. And I'm using a laptop and a headset and a microphone, and I don't have my usual setup. And so the show didn't start out the way it usually does. But I am able to finish. And that's the important thing. Today was a very serious show. Given the gravity of what's going on in our world today, sometimes it's important to be serious. But otherwise, it's been a great day, and tomorrow will probably be even better. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow. I only ask, could we please start again?
I think you've made your point known.